wonderful grace, your mercies, and your compassions, your love, your goodness, your truth. I thank you for this time of fellowship together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you're in the midst of us. And that means, Father, you're in the midst of us too. And I just thank you for just working in everybody tonight, mightily, but to bring to do you've got pleasure. And that we can be a blessing one to another. Thank you, that iron sharpens iron. And just have great fellowship, hot fellowship, Father. And some hot testimonies. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Well, okay, so with that, who would like to start off?
Well, if no one else, I will.
And take your time, darling. Everything that's been going on.
Everything. Okay, it has been, I'm just going to be transparent. I had a wonderful weekend with my daughter, and I went to church with them Sunday. That was hilarious to me, because I'm sitting up in church, and the pastor was talking about, because they go to Sunday school, and then they go to church afterwards, and then they go back in the evening, so I'm like, okay. But anyway, I'm not mad. I'm really not mad, trust me. So he was talking about the wrath of God, you know, and I'm just listening to him, and he asked one question, and he goes, so something, he was talking about Noah, you know, and he said, you know, when he asked, you know, how long did it take for Noah to build the boat? And I'm like, it's 125 years, you know, and he's like, yeah, nobody said anything. So I'm sitting there laughing, like looking around going, was I the only one that knew that? Anyway, so he goes, do you know that if he started at the beginning of the boat and he built it all the way to the end, by the time he got to the end, the front part of it was an antique? I went, dang, I never thought about that. Because if you think about it, anything that's over 100 years old is an antique. And I thought, oh, that's very interesting. I also thought about that 125 years in there and being Amy and being human. I thought about the days that he's like, I didn't want to do this, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, there might have been days when he just said, I'm not fixing to go out there. Those people are getting on my nerves. And I thought, you know, there had to be those days. And I'm thinking this because I have those days. I have those days where I'm like, I do not want to be bothered with people. I do not want to go outside. I do not want to look at anybody's face. I don't want nothing to do with none of them. And then I think of Moses, and I'm thinking he lasted a hell of a lot longer than I ever would have. I'm so glad he asked him to do that. Then I realized, you know something, God asked us each to do something, and those are the dreams that we have. And I went back, and I'm telling you guys this because it's so amazing. I was, you know, I don't know how many of you know that I'm a representative for Mary Kay Cosmetics, and with that, there's a lot of excitement things that people build up, you know, the build up, the excitement, get to do this and get to do that and rise to the point of this and you can do it and you and God can do this and, you know, yeah, they throw that in there and you can do it and it gets, you know, and by the time you have gotten all involved in that, you realize that you are now living their dream and yours is gone.
Yeah.
Just gone. And I had a poster, you know, I was sitting there trying to make a goal poster. And my daughter made this poster for me about 10 years ago. And I've had this poster, and it was behind something, and God brought back to my remembrance my dream. And I thought, you know, the way the enemy has been fighting with me in my dream for so long, I must be going to be hell of good at it. So I have decided that I pulled that poster out, I put it back up, I said, these are my goals. And if you know, if I succeed at the business in Mary Kate, is because it's a vehicle to reach the goal. It has nothing to do with the dream and the vision that God has already given me. That which He has given me, it is going to come to pass with or without Mary Kate or anything else. It'll do it. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care about any of those things. You know, 125 years when everybody was against that one man and they were all sitting on that boat when God closed that door.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, okay, Father, that's the goal. That's the dream. That's the vision.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful. Even after 10 years, you know, I hung on to that sucker for a long time. I did all the things I needed to do. And then in less than a month, I think I had been chipped away. You know how things get chipped away and chipped away and chipped away until they get to the place where finally one somebody who is, you know, probably somebody that you admire says something, and whatever it is that you were dreaming of just went right out the window. Well, it's okay. God is a way of being able to remind you.
Yes.
He is very much, very close to us. And it really has nothing to do with making, you know, you being approved or trying to do something to make God happy. When He puts those things there because it is His idea to bless you. It is something that He is doing for you, to bless you, to exalt you. And sometimes there are sufferings, but He is God and God alone. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. With Jesus Christ, there were sufferings, and then there was an exaltation, and there were sufferings, and then there was exaltation. And the greatest suffering, the cross. And the greatest exaltation, He sits at the right hand of God.
Wow.
He is the Christ.
Amen.
And He is our example. And He went through it. And yes, we do sometimes go through it. We have an enemy. But we just keep being valiant for the truth, looking towards God, keeping our eyes on Him, because we're not doing it, you know. Hebrews, I think it's in Hebrews, it says that we are, oh, come on, it was right there. Right on the tip of my tongue. To please God, that we believe, that we believe God, that He is the one true God, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
There is the one God. We diligently seek Him, and He rewards. He's not rewarding us because He needs to have this joy, because that's what He wanted to do from the very beginning. You know, God does not need anything from us. Not, we need everything from Him. You know, we're a part of a body. We need each other. You try living without your liver. Just try that. Let me know if that works out for you. It's not going to happen. We need each other because we're all part of the body. But the head is the Lord Jesus Christ. The head. And God is head over Him. He did it for us. And He does these things for us, to bless us. Anyway, back to my daughter and these people at church. It was just a wonderful time to be with her in a position where it was like, you know something? There is no judgment. God is able to deliver those and to teach those who want to be taught. You know, they are filled to the extent that they want to be filled. But in the meantime, you know what? I have the privilege of speaking in tongues. I don't have to be, you know, judgmental about what you're doing and what they're doing. I love being with them at, you know, in fellowship and, you know, giving praise to God. And just, it was just being with my family. You know, being with my grandchildren, it was just wonderful. It was wonderful that they were, you know, at their church, they're trying to teach. They want the children to develop a personal relationship with God. They want them to develop their own personal relationship. But what I saw bigger than any of that was they were saying that the responsibility is at home. All we do is we're just augmenting your responsibility. We're just helping. And I thought, that was an answer to prayer. It's an answer to prayer for me, for my daughter, for her family. It's an answer to prayer.
Beautiful.
So I had a wonderful weekend. I spent some very quality time with Candace and with Michael. And Michael is starting his own business. And so you guys, if you have the opportunity and you think about him,
yeah.
Michael Gretzau's business is called Wolf City Cafe. Excuse me, Wolf City Coffee. And that's what he wants to do. So I would be blessed and honored if you would speak in tongues for that.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
Love you too, Amy. That was absolutely wonderful.
That's great.
So pick away.
I am going to pick.
Oh, welcome, Vida.
Hi, Vida.
God bless you, darling.
I will pick Anna.
Hi, everyone.
My lovely Anna.
Hi, Amy. Thank you for your sharing.
I love you.
Hi, everyone.
God bless you.
God bless you all. Just to say hello, I'm too tired today. It was a holiday, but there were things to do at home, so I'm tired. I'm more sleepy than ever. It was a day of work and rest, too, but a lot of stuff to do. But it's a good day. We are alive. We are alive and kicking. We are God's sons and daughters. We speak in tongues. We can see miracles. We can perform those miracles too. We can do things in our lives. And God is always providing whatever we need. And it's even if we are working or not doing anything, we can always talk to God and go to Him and ask things and go for comfort, for whatever we need. It's good to know that He's always there waiting for us and always available whenever we need Him. And it's a bless to arrive finally to Thursday to be in fellowship with you all. And God bless you all, and I'm here to listen what I have to learn today. And I will pass. You want to share, Pedro? So
yeah,
it will.
Thank you.
Pass, Pedro.
Okay, God bless you guys. As Anna said, we have been working in a house outside in the garden. She's cleaning the kitchen. I'm painting. I will paint the bathroom.
Ah.
So we're doing things at home for summertime, and we're kind of tired. It's really hot here in Portugal now, and during the day it's hard to do stuff even inside. But a part of that, I have been listening, as you probably some of you heard, some teachings about Paul's life, the Apostle Paul. And one thing I learned these last days, that I thought it was funny, in a way curious maybe, is that, we know that Paul, before he met Jesus Christ in his way to Damascus, was persecuting the church, you know, and trying to get the believers, get them in prison, even if they get killed, it was all right with him. And that's the way he persecuted them, right, before he was... he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then after, when he believed Jesus Christ and he believed what God called him to do, it's funny because the same word in the text that say he persecutes is the same word he uses later when he says, like in 1 Timothy 6:11, that we should follow justice godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. So what I'm saying here is that it changed from persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ and the church for persecuting the things of Christ in the good way, persecuting in the way that he would go after those things the same way he would go after before the believers to get them and to hurt them. Now it changed his direction, but his way of acting or his heart on doing it was the same. And that makes me think that what really matters to God is our hearts, not the, quite the direction we're in. I mean, God wants us in the good direction, but he'll do that for us. He will show us the right way. As long as our hearts are turn to him, you know, that's the thing that he won't do for us. He won't make us has a heart for him. So, and it's very important, our heart for God. And that make me also think that we sometimes cannot be in our best, maybe, on the things we do or believing even. But if our heart is still there for God, you know, if we still are looking for, doesn't mean we get there. It's like when Paul said, I follow for the target, for the goal. I don't believe I am there yet. But he was falling after the call God has for him. And that's all God asks for us, that we keep following his calling, you know. He doesn't want us to be perfect or not failing. He would like that, but sometimes that can happen. But anyway, the way we put our heart into things, like sometimes, I don't know, but people in the world are really good workers. They do a lot of good jobs, even if they don't have a boss, if they work for themselves, or if they are employed by someone, they try to do their best for that boss, or they try to do, you know, things by the law, not against the law, and obey what, you know, the society some way, according to what's good for God's, at God's sight, of course. But believers, many times they put a lot of effort in their hearts to do their best for the things in their lives. And when I'm saying lives, I say either work, family, get along with the neighbors, whatever, and not trying to be hard on others. But then on themselves, with God, sometimes people can get hard with themselves. I mean, we don't have to put that hardness on ourselves, because God wants us, our hearts, and he knows our hearts, and he looks to our hearts. And I believe we have wonderful hearts for God. Other way, we wouldn't be here for sure. But that's what counts most for God, you know. That's what he can do by himself, let's say so. That's the only thing we really can do for him, is giving him our hearts. And that's all he wants from us, really, by the end of the day. It's that our hearts are with him. That's what really blesses him and really warms him up, you know, seeing that our hearts are turned to him, not in a perfect way, not in a, you know, in our best. That counts a lot for him. And if we can do that many times in the world, in our daily lives, we can do that with God too. The thing is that many times we don't realize how much we did for him or with him. It just let him show you yourself. That's a funny thought, but we need God to show us how we really are for him. Because many times we don't see ourselves like that, you know. We don't see ourselves like people who love God. Who in this world really loves God the way we do, by believing his promises and having a heart for believing him and trusting him in spite of everything around? Not many people, I think. I mean, I don't know a lot, you know. But God knows, and God really cares for it. If you go through his word, from Moses to David to Paul to Abraham, those great believers, they were great believers because of their hearts. And like the Apostle Paul, even when he was wrong, he has a great heart for God. He just was, as he said, ignorant of the truth of God's will. And he saw he was right and he was wrong. But once he realized he was wrong and get right, he did a lot of for God, and God did a lot through him. And that's what God needs to operate, to act on this world, is us, through our hearts for him. Not our knowledge, not our goodness, not our, you know, strength, wisdom, whatever you want to think about it. Just trusting in what he did through his son in us. That's all we need. And that's a lot. That's a lot. When that things are living on the Son of God, then God can operate and manifest through that spirit of him in us. And that passes through our hearts. Because if our hearts are still, you know, the Word of God says the man of double heart means a man that has his heart divided between two things. And I know it's not very easy, or it's not even sometimes easy at all to put God first. But once again, it's in our heart that we put him first. And he knows that. And when he sees that, he can work in our lives in a way that we can do his will. Of course, many times we are just distracted, and not only for the pleasures of this world, many times also the worries of this world can get us, you know, jobs, health, finances, whatever, things going socially around, and the media talking about it, you know, like now in Portugal we have this strike of the guys that drive full, and they are striking 3 days, and people are afraid that we run out of gas and food on the supermarkets, and it's all wind, you know, it's all the adversary promoting fear and doubt and worries. Happened the same when we went to France and we didn't know about it, and our flights never get delayed about that, and that just went out while we were there. And now we have this vacations day here in Portugal, because today was a Friday and many people take the holiday. Day off. Yeah, it was a holiday. It's many people, sorry, thank you, Anna, you, a free day, I should say. And many people take the day tomorrow as a day of vacation, so it's like a long weekend. And people are worried about, you know, not having gas or food on the supermarket. And that's all just for distracting them. Of course, in the world, they don't have anything they can trust, really. We have God. We don't have to think about it. And we'll do our life normally, and we trust God will supply anyway, even if you have to travel this weekend to go somewhere. So, bottom line, our heart for God is very, very important, either if it's right or wrong, because even when it's wrong, and if we trust him, he will show us what is right and make all the wrongs right. So we don't even have to be afraid of being wrong, you know, or try to hide that, because God will take care of it if our heart will be for him. And that's all he needs, and that's all he wants, our hearts for him. And that's what I had to share with you guys, so I can pass the word maybe to Mr. Russell, if he's available. I don't know, Mr. Russell. Russell, you there, man?
Bless you, Pedro. Great sharing, bro.
Yes, sir. I can't say it.
Bless you, Russ.
Yeah. I had to play with the buttons again. Thank you. I can't say.
Pedro.
Pedro.
Yeah, I guess I just. That one's giving me trouble. Well, my speech has been still improving very mightily. So I think I'm at 99%. I think I was like maybe 90% last time. And I did gain some weight. I saw the doctor about 2 weeks ago. And, I was really concerned about it, because in June I had dropped down to, I couldn't believe it, 156 when I was in high school.
Wow.
So I I'm up to 166%, and I should be even higher by now. My daughter's been here a lot of times. Things are going very well with Shirley. She's been contacting me, and I finally wrote her a letter. You couldn't believe the power of a letter. But I had to wait. I could not write it until the last weekend. So the last thing she said was she hopes I like red cars. So apparently she must have gotten a car. My daughter, I think Lawrence knew that my daughter's getting married.
Yeah.
Was very, boy, was she blessed. And I don't know who took her pictures, but they came out fantastic.
Great thing.
I don't even know. And so I've had to get a lot of things in order. At the same time, Father has, well, it's deeply personal, but yet Father has been right on top of me. I mean, just amazes me. You know, like if I turn on Facebook, there might be a scripture that just blows me away, very timely. I don't scroll down. I don't read everything. It's kind of like if I turn it on, it's what's there, you know?
Yeah.
But I've picked up a lot of new friends along the way. I got my, you know, and I'm claiming complete health, you know, for the stroke. And like my right arm used to be numb in the forearm. It's completely healed, the forearm. A little bit in my right palm, little bit of numbness. Look at that little guy. Oh, my God, that's a winner. He's a winner. Anyway, or is that a girl? Pink. No. I should have known. Pink, right?
Yeah, Dust.
That's a girl. Little boys are blue. Oh, hey, precious. So, yeah, so I got, like, getting food delivered. I got medical transportation. I got non-medical transportation. Hasn't started yet, but I'll have, if I need it, I'll have someone to vacuum my little motorhome. Won't take them long. These poor girls have to vacuum a whole house for some people. But, yeah, just little stuff that will bless. God's, you know, I've been practicing on my ABS, and literally, I'm like down to $6 one day, and the next day, I got 600, you know.
Hey, praise God.
Or same thing again, I don't ask when I do this for people to send anything. But like just the other day, I got another 300, you know, because I only have my retirement each month. And this month, you know, for some months take longer. It's like a full 5 weeks. So this money definitely was appreciated. I've been blessed with a lot of just really good fellowship. Tom Derrett came out last week and took me out to lunch and got me groceries. Well, I gotta mention the cat. The cat is doing well, except he's sound asleep. But yeah, you know, it's one of those 90 degrees days. And yeah, it cooled off. It was like 60 this morning or 50, and it warms up to 75 and then on up. We get our major heat at the end of the day, and then it drops off. But Idaho's still a beautiful state. I have I've had great times talking to Sangha. I've been talking to Ruben, the man that was in a car crash with a big truck 2 years ago, right on my birthday. And I'd heard him talk before on Skype, but I got to really spend some great times talking with him. And even one night, I remember I went to bed Thursday night, very blessed, very peaceful, and I go to sleep, and Father wakes me up around 2 a.m., and I'm thinking, gee, I don't have to go pee. What's up, Lord? You know, maybe I'm supposed to pray. 5 seconds later, my wife was sending me love messages. But, you know, at that time, this was probably mid-July, and I didn't really want to talk to her because I didn't want to get into, I didn't want to undo anything God, I knew God was doing.
Yeah.
So I just kind of clicked like, let her know that I saw it. I went right back to sleep, and the fellowship or communication has been far greater. And I'm just real thankful because it's like Ruben had said, when God starts something, he finishes it. I'm like, it's not like we have to build our faith. Yeah. You know, you go to God, you tell him what you want. And I thank God I didn't faint. Because, believe it or not, even a guy with a stroke, you would be surprised that women still hit on me. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, I'm about to be 65, honey. Back off, boogaloo, you know. But, you know, but in my heart, you know, it's that one flesh. I get so blessed when I see Lawrence and his wife living more abundantly. And, you know, I saw those pictures of you preparing your house for visitors. Then I guess Sangha came back again.
Yeah.
And then Sangha just, he just messaged me. Apparently, I think he was going to Madrid, I believe.
Yeah, he'd be Madrid next, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, what does he go back home and
goes to Madrid,
kick
and
off his...
Then he's off to Croatia, and then he flies back from Croatia to London, and that same day, me and Kim would drive up, because he had some luggage that he's sending to me, because it was too much to take on the smaller flights. And so we're going to take him there and see him before he goes off. So
he never went. He never went back to India. He's just still.
No, he's still
on tour. Ah, great.
Yeah,
but yeah, he still had time for me a few weeks ago. I think when he arrived in London in the morning, so it must have been before you saw him.
Yeah,
and that was a real blessing. Beatrice and some prayers. That was great. So it's like the body is neatly sewn together. And so it takes a body. I mean, it's so awesome to spot it. Some guy from could be across. Over in India or Cape Town or over here, Ireland, of course, England, Canada. And God had this whole thing figured out. So if God knows what he's doing, we ought to trust him, right?
Amen.
I mean, he's got it all figured out. And, you know, forget cell phones. I remember in 1981, I was up in Vermont, and it was a lot of snow, and I'm running around witnessing and but the buses had stopped running, so I had to walk home in the snow. And I go into this little taxi building, little like a Cape Cod type building. That's what they're pretty popular over here. And there's two guys that were PFL grads.
Oh, wow.
They weren't with the ministry anymore, but I was there to bless them. I was there to heal.
Nice.
And, you know, I was thinking, you know, like, you know, we think we're supposed to just drag somebody to fellowship to be successful. Sometimes we just are there for people and to speak the word or plant seeds. You know, we're not to be judgmental on ourselves. That, you know, we are. And later, a friend of mine in the Corps told me how they had just gone out light bearers and to get, you know, like to try to, you know, do those classes and stuff. My friend Charlie, he said, Russell, Dr. Werwolf said nobody got a class together. And that the whole reason that they were out was to heal hearts. And, you know, as we speak the word, like, I really got blessed with Amy and, you know, her honesty. I mean, I felt the same way today. I felt like, gee, it's kind of like a more, felt a little more tired. And it was amazing because I just happened to turn on Skype and there's Lawrence. 1 minute before saying he's going to call me. And I'm like, great. So I have great expectation because of the working of God in Lawrence and each person here. So let me end on that unless I can think of something better. But God bless you.
Bless your heart, Russ. Really great. Really great
to hear
your voice. And yeah, God really put you in my heart, and I just knew straight away, Russ needs to be on the call. So it's really,
it was like, I don't know, it was, over here it was like 1:27, and when I turned it on it was like 1:28.
Yeah.
And right away, and then Tom's calling me. I said, no, I'm joining a call, I'll let you know later. But
you should have invited him along. He could have joined in.
I could ask him.
Yeah, if you want to. You can just add him in yourself.
But I guess you had Sangha over at your place, right?
Yeah, we had a fantastic time with Sangha. It was nice.
Well, I saw the picture.
Yeah, it was just nice and relaxed. We spent quality time with him. We just done one fellowship, which was on the Wednesday. And the rest of the time, me and Kim just hugged up his time. And we just spent time fellowship, and it was really fantastic.
Oh yeah, I could see a spread of food all over the place. So I was like, well, they're well fed. They're holding their bellies. But no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we just really wanted to bless them. We hadn't seen them. I mean, they're our friends as well as ministers, and we just really wanted to bless them, and we hadn't seen them for a long time, and they're always very good hosts when we go to India, and I really wanted to just bless them and take care of them, and it was just really sweet time, and I really seen their ministry and their tender heart and their love for God, you know, to really keep God first and to be bold in the things that they were sharing, and it brings deliverance when it's received, you know. And so I was just really thankful to God for those things, you know. Very, very wonderful time. I miss it. There was one time we were sat on the beach in a place called, where is it, Linton? In a place called Linton. Uh-huh. And it just reminded me of the scene come to my mind of where Jesus prepared a meal on the seaside shore for Peter and that. And we were just eating fish and chips on this beach, and sang it with Sharon. It was just such a powerful, peaceful time. It blew my mind. And I realised at that moment I needed to savour that moment. Me, Kim, Beatrice and Sangit just eating fish and chips, enjoying this beautiful scenery and just listening to what the great encouragement. It was fantastic. And then we had a hour and a half journey home in the car as well, and we continued in that. It was just non-stop encouragement.
Don't you scratch that new car now.
Yeah, don't you worry about that. We're off to London on Saturday. Priya and Madhav, they're in London now. And Priya wrote to me and said, oh, we would like to see you. Would you come up? So I said, yeah, I'd love to come up for the day. So me and Kim are going to go up for the day. We're going to meet them and pick them up from their hotel and chuck their suitcases in the car, go around London for the day. Maybe some other believers may meet up with us. If anyone's listening to it, it'd be Trafalgar Square at 3:30.
Wow.
And then we'll drop them back to where they're staying with the believers down there. And then we'll come on home. But, God has been great, yeah.
I turned on my camera just so you could see me smile.
Yeah, you look good, bro.
The stuff that, I'm just here, sitting here. Didn't even shave, but I'm here. That's why I put the hat on. Anyway, just the stuff you were saying just put a big smile on my face. Just your heart for the whole ministry, but it's not just the ministry, it's just family, you know. So that blessed me. So I'll turn the camera off. And
if you want to pick someone else, you've got Fida, you've got Kim Hailey, you've got Jason and Kim and me and Becky and Jack.
I'll pick Kim Hailey.
Okay, awesome. Bless your heart, Russell. Thank you for sharing.
He's still there. Bless you.
He's there.
All right, turn that.
Okay, thank you. Away you go, thanks. Kim. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. Last Monday, we had the this house group Bible study, which I call fellowship, but they call it House Group Bible, the church. So we had a meeting on Monday. We couldn't have manifestations because, sadly, they don't know about speaking in tongues, really, don't. But I didn't get the teaching this time, but we received some handouts, which is the Bible study on the Day of Judgment. And the folks who were here, they believed that they had to repent, and that we're all going to have to face the judgment to come after our Lord and Savior's return. And I tried to explain that, you know, this is not the case. Our sins have been forgiven, past and in the future. We know this, and just as we've been healed. And we talked about the day of judgment will come as a thief, you know, could catch us like a thief in the night. So whilst we didn't see eye to eye exactly, it was good that they were here. We had prayers and we had blessings and that, and I was glad to have it here. There's no but. We will have it in the next one, will be in a month's time. Can be a little difficult, and as when you're trying to rightly divide the word of God, and no slate intended, but you know you're trying to help, or trying to re-educate, we're trying to teach others, you know, the word as you know it, and the church as they've been brought up, because we had one of the pastors here. And the Church of England really has quite a different teaching in many respects to how we know the word. But anyway, I'm going to persevere with it because they were blessed to be here. And I just pray the Lord that I can make some headway, show them the light, you know, of the true, the rightly divided word. Because God will be to anyone, or God will be to us, what we think him to be. And what I learned also earlier on this week is that to praise the Lord, this is a weapon against the adversary. He can't stand it when we give the glory and praise to God. It releases things in the spiritual realm, and when we praise God, it forces us to focus on his goodness and promises and overlook the circumstances, and we change our attitude. So praise really is not an option, neither is speaking in tongues. So if we start thanking God for things being as good as they are, we take stock of what we have received from the new birth. And naturally, it all begins with faith. It's impossible to please the Lord without faith. And praise affects every area. Praise will change our focus, and it is also an attitude of the heart. So that's really all that's happened for me this week. I've been blessed, praise the Lord, and he takes care of our every need. We just need to stand each day confessing his word and confessing his possession. So that's all I have for now. So thank you, and I will ask Vida to share with us.
Okay, Vida, God bless you.
God bless you guys.
God bless you, Alan.
Huh?
Hello, God bless you.
God bless, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, lovely sweetheart.
Okay, wonderful. Well, it's great to see you guys. Or hear from you and see your lovely pictures. Okay. It has been some wonderful sharings, and just some of the things that has really been the things that you guys shared that really have touched my heart, especially like what Kim said, praise affects every area of our life. And I've been thinking about that a lot, about praising God and how he wants us to, you know, praise him and have that fellowship with him and spend that time with him. I know for myself, a lot of times I, you know, have gotten so caught up in trying to read the scriptures, which is nothing wrong with that, and I do that a lot. But a lot I was missing my time with him, you know. I think about, you know, you guys are here on Skype, and it's wonderful to hear your voices and not really see you. But just think about how much more wonderful it is when we're in the presence of each other, you know. And I was thinking how, you know, the Bible reveals God. But God also reveals himself to us, you know. We were able to, as we spend time with him and give him all the praise and just glorify him, he spends that time with us, and we get to know him better, and we come into that more intimate relationship with him. I was introduced to the ministry that a lot of us was a long time ago. I'm not going to say how many years ago. I'll let you all do the math. And there was a great focus on, you know, studying the scriptures and memorizing the scriptures, not as much as focus on spending that time with the Father. And I wouldn't trade that for nothing in the world. I am so thankful for that foundation. But in my latter years, I am really seeing how important it is to, you know, just spend that time with him. We're getting ready to do our annually weekend up in Applin, Georgia. And the theme for this year is Triumphant Praise. So I've been looking at that a little bit, and I was thinking about, you know, how... Was that Sangin and Beatrice, or somebody just put up a picture? You
that,
did.
That was me. That was on the beach.
Just fellowshipping, right. I love it. I mean, you know, I love the way the church is growing up. The church is really growing up, and I think we're getting out of that really religious stuff, and we're just learning how to enjoy God.
Yeah.
Enjoy God, you know, and the time with Him, and see Him more as that Father as opposed to the God, you know. It's a big difference, you know, because it's, once again, it becomes that intimate part as opposed to, you know, God. And when you're more closer with someone, you're more, your heart is more free to talk and to commune and to ask and to seek, you know. But if you see Him as more like God, it's more distant, you know. It's like something that maybe not reachable. It's almost reachable, but it's not, you know. I know, like with my father, earthly father and mother, I will more quickly go to them and seek things from them than I would somebody that's on the outside. So, and not to say that God is on the outside, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to teach another doctrine, but I'm just expressing how my relationship with Him is starting to grow.
Yeah.
As I seek to spend that quality time with Him as my Father, as opposed to just, you know, God and knowing scriptures and stuff. And you would be so amazed as to how much scripture He will pour in your heart that maybe it's not absolutely written down, you know, but we are those living epistles, and that word of God, you know, be it written, be it spoken, you know, David sung words to God, right? He sung songs, words to God. We read those now. But God didn't go sit down after Jesus Christ ascended. He put His Spirit in us, so His songs continue to be written. His words continue to be written. And we are the ones that write those because the Spirit of that living God lives within us. So I am just starting to really enjoy that and to see myself, you know, grow up more in God and in understanding that. And it just makes it so much sweeter with my relationship with people, because like Amy was saying, you know, it steps back from that position of being judgmental. You know, you see yourself as part of that body of Christ, and you're not judgmental, but you see how God has so loved you and bought you up out of the muck and mire, and continue to bring you out of the muck and mire of this world, and how He has set you up, and you want your brothers and sisters to have that. So you start to, you know, just step back and see their hearts, and see it not being a forceful thing that you're trying to do to people, or judge them when they don't do it, but to just allow God to show you their heart and what is really going on there, you know, to, because we do, we have that gift of Holy Spirit, which means we can discern, we can get word of knowledge on a situation, you know, we can see what we need to do there, we can, God can show us, you know, what we need to speak. Think about Jesus Christ when He was writing on the ground, you know, my picture of that, which may not be accurate, or it may be accurate, but my picture of that, it was Him waiting on the Father to give Him the information that He needed for that particular situation. You know, so that, once again, that's the word coming from God. Had that been written in the Old Testament? So if Jesus Christ had been waiting, well, let me wait and go see what the scripture says about this. You know, so it's just that relationship, building that relationship. By praise, by going to Him and just completely opening yourself up, you know, allowing yourself to have that time with the Father. You know, for me, it's a big party. I love parties. Kim, when we come to Europe, we're partying. The United Kingdom, we're partying, okay?
Yes, I'm very good at partying.
Huh?
I'm good at partying.
Good. I love it. I love it. I love to party. You know, and that's our Father. It talks about it a lot throughout the scriptures, like the loving Father. So son had went out and spent all his money. When he came back, his father just threw him a party. You know, he didn't. Oh, I told you not to go out and do that riotous living. No. Son, what have you been doing all this time? You should have done that. No, he threw him a party and he welcomed him back in, you know. The 99 sheep, had God to leave them. That analogy of how one is 99 is left to go seek that one. So it's just that intimate time, that fellowship, that praise with God. And I think that for me at least, starting that praise time with the Father has brought me into a more closer, intimate relationship with Him than just trying to beat my head, which is hard for me to remember at times to anyways with scriptures like, oh God, I just sit here and I just said that scripture 21 times and I still don't remember. Instead of just sitting there meditating on it and understanding what it's saying, you know. Like, I need to remember this now. So you really blessed me with that, Kim, with about the heart and about putting him first and how we need to do that. And another thought I had too, as you know, how the Word of God tells us to be specially good to the household. And sometimes I have been so gung-ho and trying to push a scripture down someone's throat. That I even forget that, first of all, they may already be part of the household. Just because I ran into them does not mean they're not born again, you know? Sometimes you run into people, you assume they're not born again because they're not speaking the same thing you're speaking. But the Word of God tells us to be especially good unto the household. And sometimes as Christians, we can be so mean, you know? And that is not what God looks like. So I think, once again, it still come back to that relationship, that praise with Him. He brings you more into understanding of seeing these things, you know, of how to walk with Him, how He looks, as opposed to just, you know, I guess, having head knowledge as opposed to heart knowledge. And I'm just so thankful for that, and because in his presence is fullness of joy. And that's kind of what's on my heart, I guess, I wanted to share.
That's and awesome. Bless your heart, Peter.
Bless you.
You pick some out now, darling.
Who do I have?
You got my Rebecca, Jancy, and Jack, and little baby Darcy, and you got who've we got? It's everyone on the Skype, yes. Yeah? So you got Jason, myself, Kim's teaching tonight.
I have Jason and you.
Jason, me, and Rebecca, Jancy, and Jack.
Who is Jack?
So Jack's new. He's a partner with Becky, who's come to fellowship over the years, and they got a little baby together, and they're doing really great. And he come and when Sangate was here actually, and got really inspired and blessed, and really turned his heart to God from that point. And so they're on tonight, sir.
Well, I'd like to hear a little bit more from Jack then, if he's available.
Go on, Jack. God, Jack.
Hello, guys. You all right?
God bless you, mate.
How you doing, okay?
Yeah, we're all blessing yourself.
Yeah, good, thank you. Good, thank you. We're just laid on the bed, me, Becky, and the baby, all listening. So, yes, we're enjoying everyone's stories and listening to everyone's got to say. So I didn't know what to say, really. I didn't know where to start. I was enjoying quite listening, really, to be honest.
That's
taking
right.
It all in.
Whatever's in your heart. I mean, what do you? Becky shared something with me today, that something good that you've done for someone today.
Oh yeah, well, it's my birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday
tomorrow. Thank you. So basically, yeah, we was here with my brother today, visiting, seeing the family, saying hello and that. And we was coming back, and we was down a dual carriageway. We've seen an old guy, and my granddad has passed away, and he looked quite similar to him, actually, in the same sort of thing he wears. And was going past, and I could see that he had a flat tire, and he was trying to, we could see he was struggling under the wheel. So I said to Becky, swing round. We was late coming back, and anyway. I said, swing round, let's give him a hand. We tried giving him a hand, and his the tools for his car didn't fit the wheel. So we said, come get in the car, we'll give you a lift back to your house. And he said, he's about an 80-odd-year-old man. He said, oh, my wife's going to be a bit funny seeing me pull up in a car with a young woman. My little friend, that was Becky. And so we pulled up, and he jumped out. And he offered to give us some money, and I was like, no, no, you carry on, mate, you carry on. He was so happy. Like a young couple like us went out of our way to help him, sort of thing. He was like, no, you carry on. We see him to his house and that, and he was so grateful. And it was just nice. It's a normal thing to do, obviously, but it was just nice feeling, because obviously what happened to my granddad not long ago,
yeah.
And it was sort of reminded me of him, and it was really, really nice. So we've had a nice evening, a bit of food. So we've had our dinner, and we've tuned in to you guys, and we're all happy right now on the bed listening. That's what everyone's got to say, and that's basically my sort of thing, all I've got to say at the moment.
Well, bless your heart, and I put the picture in the Skype chat of Jack changing the tyre, Becky took it off.
Yeah, that's the normal thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, it's not in our house, because Lawrence would have been taking the picture of me changing the tyre.
Yeah. Oh, good. All right, then, well.
All right, Becky, let you. Becky share.
Becky, okay.
Right, can you two be there? Thank you. Oh, hi. God bless you guys.
Bless you,
darling. You're all well. Yeah. I just, I've had quite a humbling day, to be honest. I have been. My mum had a knee replacement on the 25th of July, and from then she's not been well. I've been down her house a lot. Just helping her out, and today sadly I had to take her to a food bank, but I sat in that food bank and it was real humbling. I just sat there and I really appreciated what God had given me, that me and my family are okay, my like household family are okay, and it just really humbled me down, I think, just because just seeing there was a few young people. It was in a lovely church, and I was speaking to one of the ladies, and they said they do church on Sundays, etc. But there was a few families there with one lady. She had 9 children.
Oh my God.
The other lady had 4.
Wow.
And I thought it really saddened me that obviously these people were in a state that they had to go to a food bank. But sorry, excuse me.
That's right, look.
But thank God for the food banks, because they do know what these people would have done. And I would say this week, because this week's probably been, well, this week's been the first week that we've obviously got back into the fellowship, trying to teach Jack, just praying with him and stuff. And Jack had 2 courses to do on last Friday and last Saturday, and he passed with flying colours. See, wow. He had to do 90 questions, and he got 2 wrong out of those whole 90 questions.
Wow,
so he's passed the CSCS, which is the construction for building sites.
Yeah.
Is that right? Construction, yeah. Which was really, really good. But it's not he says it's not a big thing, but it helps him because he can now get the job he wants.
Yeah.
But I prayed beforehand with him. I've just been praying with him each morning just to like lift the day up to God. And this week's just, I don't know, it's felt different. And I obviously know God is with me all the time. But trying to bring Jack and my family into that, is a new family. It's been a great week, to be honest. And God's shown me quite a lot of things. And Jack, obviously being new to this.
Slowly, but surely
he's coming into, obviously, the godly life, which is what, obviously, I want. Right, I'm so sorry, but my little girl, she's teething at the minute, and she's not happy bunny, and I think she wants me. So I am going to have to go.
Darling, thank you both for sharing. Both of you are doing so great. Such a blessing.
Thank you very much.